Amen. A lot of people getting hit, folks. A lot of folks getting hit, different things going on, and some of it, we're just getting old. So as you get older, things happen. Now, Brother Jack Payton, he don't know nothing about that. Brother Jack Sr., he don't know nothing about getting things as start going south on you. Same way with Jack Jr. back there. I can see he getting old, too. How old are you, Jack? Yeah? Junior? Huh? You're 50. Man, you're way over the hill, brother. You're rolling down the hill. Mike Kaus just turned 50. And you're how old, brother? Mike? You're 56? 52. I thought, who said they were 56? Oh, Joe Tuck. He's 56.
It's like a senior center.
Yeah. Dave in the back, how old are you?
Me?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you.
Forty-nine and a half.
Jason, how old are you? How? I thought you said 24. I was going to say, you're lying in church. 44. You know, I used to look at older folks. I thought, I ain't going to never be like that. I ain't going to get. You get like that. Squiggy's 65. Anybody over? Yeah, Dave, how old are you? 62. No, 65?
Yeah.
Anybody over? Tim, how old are you? Miss Nunn, how old are you?
75.
We got hope. We have hope. Jack Payton is Jack Sr. 78. 73. What are you making him 78? He's up there telling you're old, man. You ain't old. 73 ain't old. All right. Amen. I'm glad. I'm glad. Praise the Lord. My wife is getting old. I know that. Yeah. She's 62. She's the same age as I am. You saying that's what happened to Ken? His wife kicked him? We're talking about the Holy Spirit and the spirit of man. You got spirit of man. Spirit of man people get that thing confused, the spirit of man. And the Bible talks about there's a spirit of this age, and you can see it. You can see it. Every generation has a spirit about it. And the generations, as they go on, there's a spirit about the generation. Now, there's always exceptions to the rule. And when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit, if they allow the Holy Spirit to work in their life, that it suppresses this, or first thing that happens is a man gets the Holy Spirit of God inside of him, it renews his own spirit. It renews him. And because the Bible says you were dead in your trespasses and sin. But have you ever thanked God that you can't lose your salvation? In the Old Testament, Samson, he lost the Holy Spirit, and then he got it back. In the Old Testament, a man could lose the Holy Spirit and then not get it back, and then a man could lose it and get it back. David here in chapter 51, look what he said. He messed up with Bathsheba. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. That's a good prayer. Amen. That's a real good prayer. Yeah. You say, Lord, cleanse me. God, wash me. There's that movement that was going around saying you didn't have to confess your sins. They are crazy. They're crazy. If you don't think you have to pray and ask God to forgive you, if you got the Holy Spirit of God, like I got the Holy Spirit of God, when I sin or do something wrong, the Holy Spirit of God convicts you.
Amen.
And you know what the Holy Spirit of God tells you? Don't do that again. Get that thing right. Don't do it again. And the Holy Spirit will convict you. He'll convict you. And that's how you know you're saved. See, before I got saved, I didn't have nothing convicting me about anything. I just did what I wanted. I lived like an animal. But after I got saved, I mean, the first thing I did, I mean, I was, like I told you, I started drinking, and I started drinking, the Holy Spirit started dealing with me. I didn't know no Bible. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know anything. But I knew something happened. Something inside me was telling me it was wrong. The first time, after I got saved, I went, God blank, and I said it. And the Holy Spirit inside me said, don't say that. And man, I felt like, ooh, felt like somebody hit me in the stomach. And when you're saved, that's how you know you got the Holy Spirit of God inside you. And that's why you got to allow the Holy Spirit of God work in your life, because he'll keep you from messing your life up. He'll keep you. And the Bible tells us in Romans, it says the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us. And I'll show you that in a minute. But now the Holy Spirit of God is inside you praying for you. So you'll grow. You know, here's man. Man's praying, God, give me this. God, give me. And the Holy Spirit's going, God, don't give it to him. No, he don't need that, because that'll mess him up worse. You have to live inside of him and what he looks at, what he talks about and all this stuff. And the Holy Spirit of God's grieved inside of most Christians on a daily basis. And the Bible tells you, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's. So it tells you, don't grieve him. He's in there. He's trapped. So when you go out and drink, drugs, curse, live like hell, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit of God's inside you, and he's interceding, but he's also finally gets to a place, I believe this, the Holy Spirit says, he's not going to do right. He's not going to live right. Just take it home. Take him home. And he starts praying in the sense, God, get him out of here. So David in the Old Testament is praying that the Holy Spirit wouldn't leave him. And here you are in the New Testament. You're in the New Testament and you're sealed. You got the Holy Spirit of God sealed inside you. He's sealed in there. Now look at this. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquities, cleanse me from my sins, for I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Notice that. That's how you know when you're trying to get right with God. You're telling God, you might sin against a bunch of people, and the Bible talks about that, sinning against people, but he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And you know what he did? He sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against Uriah and the whole family. He sinned against the whole kingdom. And he brought sin upon the whole kingdom. He was the king. He was the captain of the kingdom and under God. And he sinned against God, and he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. So when you sin, you know, you better go to God and get clean. You better. He says, wash me. Look, I acknowledge my transgression. Most people don't want to acknowledge their sin. You know what they try to do? They try to cover it up. You know, the first thing you try to do, and I do, we all do, is hide it. Where do you get that from? Goes back to the garden. All the way back to Genesis 3. Goes right back there. As soon as man sins, he tried to cover it up. He's hiding from God. You know what happens to when you sin and you continue in sin? You don't fellowship with God. You don't talk to God, God don't talk to you. Amen. And the devil goes, oh boy, I got a wedge in here now. Right. I got me a wedge. Yep. Yep. Until you acknowledge your sin and say, oh God, I've sinned against you. The devil goes, oh man, man. You know what happened to the prodigal son? The devil had his arm around the prodigal son the whole time. Yeah, boy, you're going to show everybody. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And you're going, man, we're going to fire up the world. And then finally he came to himself. You know, I pray for people now. I pray, God, help them to come to themselves. And wake up. And when they start sinning, God, I had a lady call me yesterday. I think I was telling TJ. She was drunk as a skunk. She saved. Drunk as a skunk. One minute she'd be crying her eyes out. Next minute she went into a rage. She said, you preached my son's funeral, and that family, that blankety blanks, they start saying that you didn't preach it right. And she just started going. I went, whoa. I said, let's pray. She said, I told them you were telling the truth. And she was, because they were Catholic. I said, the Catholic Church, where somebody kills himself, you know, there, you said, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And I said, Catholic Church teaches people went to hell if they kill themselves. That's what we were taught. You know, most religions teach us somebody kills themselves, they go to hell. And I said that, and the lady said, well, he said they went to hell because they killed themselves. I didn't say that. She was defending me, even though she was drunk. She was defending me. But and then I had somebody else yesterday I talked to, young man, come back from Afghanistan, has a post-traumatic stress disorder, and he's talking about killing himself. His name's Samuel. Y'all pray for him, Samuel. And Samuel is, and I said, Samuel, he doesn't have no car, he doesn't have a license. And I said, how much money do you make a month? He said, $3,200. I said, you're making $3,200 a month? You ain't got a license, you ain't got a car? You ain't got no way to get around. Boy, you better get your act together. I started yelling at him. Get your act together. Get a car. Get to church. Get in your Bible. Man. And I talk to people all the time. And you know what it is? They won't let the Holy Spirit of God run their life. And when you want to run your life, you'll make a mess out of it. I run my life, I'll make a mess out of it. And you let you say, well, get out of the way, God. I know what I'm doing. Just like the prodigal son, get out of my way. I know what I'm doing. Just, and you say, I'm going to go out and show everybody how it's done. And you'll mess up your life. You'll mess up people around. So I'm only hurting myself. No, you lying thing. You're hurting everybody. Everybody prays for you. Everybody loves you. Everybody cares. Your church family. And I got some people on my mind right now thinking about it. He says, I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. You know what people do? They blame God. They won't openly say it's God's fault, but what they do is they blame God's people. They'll blame the church. They'll blame other people. They'll blame everybody other than themselves. That goes back to Adam and Eve. That goes back to Cain. You ever think about the questions asked in the Bible? The first question shows up, the devil shows up, asks the question. Oh, come on. Yay, did God say? And then the next person asks the question is God. Where are you? Have you eaten from the tree? And then, you know, he asked Cain, he said, why are thou wroth? Why are you mad? Why are you upset? But here, David, he says, I acknowledge my sin. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. You got to be honest with yourself, man. You got to be honest with yourself and then honest with God. And if you don't, then you'll never get no help. Never get no help. You'll just, you know what? I keep thinking about that song Rex Harrison used to sing. Take another lap around Mount Sinai till you learn your lesson. You know what a lot of Christians are doing? They're just going around and around and around and around. And they never learn. They keep doing the same old stupid stuff all the time. We see them come to church, and then we see them out of church. And they'd be out of church for a while, and then they'd be back in church, and then they'd be out of church. Why? Because they keep going back to the same cycle. They always say, you know, if it doesn't work, man, quit. Quit it. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make thee me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Remember now, Jesus Christ hadn't died yet. You're still in the Old Testament. And he says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart. Yeah. Oh, God. He says, renew a right spirit within me, a right spirit. You got to have a right spirit, man. And you can get around somebody right quick and talk to them and kind of figure out if their spirit's right or not. You can tell. You can get around people if they got a bad spirit on them. You can tell. Just like that fellow that came in sitting in here, and he got a bad spirit on him. And a lot of times you pick up spirits during the day. You can be around people, certain people, and they rub off on you. They'll affect you. You can get a spirit of anger, a spirit of jealousy, a spirit. I mean, there's all kinds of different, it's always unclean. But the Holy Spirit of God is inside you. You say, well, if the Holy Spirit's in there, then, but your Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. If you allow your spirit to control everything in your life, then the Holy Spirit's not. The Holy Spirit's not working. He's not running your life. And you got to let the Holy Spirit have his way in your life. He says, cast me not away from thy presence. Look what he says. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit could be on a man, in a man, but then he could lose it. He could lose it. And that's why David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Here you and I are. We're in the New Testament after Jesus Christ was crucified, and God put the Holy Spirit inside you and sealed it to the day of redemption. Look in your Bible, look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. This is elementary, but I love going over the elementary stuff at times. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:30. You know what? You know children need to understand this. Amen. And a person just getting saved needs to understand this. It says in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I'll never forget when I first got saved. And I mean, I'm reading all these verses. My wife is reading the Bible to me, and I'm learning how to read. And I'm reading all these verses, and I used to have a bad mouth. And most everybody in this room did, too, if you weren't, you know, you're out in the world. I had a bad mouth. And you know what I did? I prayed. I said, Lord, help me. May the Holy Spirit of God help me clean my mouth up. I wanted to be able to talk right. I wanted to be able to say words. And what blessed my heart one time, I told you all this story. What blessed my heart, I smacked my finger. I mean, I split this thumb right down the middle. And I split it right down the thumb with a sledgehammer. I was taking kingpins out of the front of a F-600, 700 truck. And I had my hand down like that, and I missed the axle and hit my thumb and split that thumb right down the middle of this, right down the middle of my fingernail. And I mean, I was jumping around. It looked like a cloven foot, you know. And it was one going this way. I mean, it was right down the middle. It hit the bone. And I'm running around and blood squirting out of that thing, and I'm jumping around going, oh, God, oh, God. And I was going, oh, God, help, Lord, help me, help me. And I mean, I was in the shop. And I hit that thing, and I went into office, and I asked the lady who I worked at, I said, can you get a bandage for me and wrap around this thing? And she looked at it, almost passed out. And here's what I told her. I said, she goes, are you hurting? I said, yeah, it hurts, it hurts. I said, but you know what? Bless my heart. She said, something bless your heart. I said, yeah. I said, not one cuss word came to my mouth. Not one cuss word. Amen. That blessed my heart. I didn't even think of a cuss word. You say, that's a victory? Oh, yeah, man. That was a victory. Not one cuss word came out of my mouth. The Bible said, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Don't be talking filthy things. Now, look at this. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Come on now. To what? What is edifying? Encouraging people. Talking about the Lord, saying, hey, man, praying for you, brother. Love you. You know, may the Lord bless you. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. So your mouth, God gave you, he bought this body for his glory. And we're supposed to use our body, our mouth, our ears, our eyes, everything for his glory. And it says, don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. I heard about a pastor in the old church that I used to go to over in Riverdale, Maryland. And the guy was running around with a couple of women in the church. And looked like he should be in a magazine. He was a pretty boy. And his wife, she was, you know, I met him one time. He thought he was too good to shake your hand. And big church, I mean, talking about 2,500 seat auditorium and all that. And he kind of walked around with his coat behind his back, kind of like he's posing all the time for a picture. You know how people do selfies, they're always posing. And his wife recorded him talking to his girlfriend on the phone, and finally the deacons got a hold of him and kicked him out, and that's what they should have done. It says, grieve, no, look at verse 30, look at verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are what? So you're sealed to win onto the day of redemption. So everything that comes out of your mouth, everything you do after you're saved, you're going to have to give account for. Everything I've done since I've been saved, I got to give account for. And it says, let all bitterness, verse 31. Let all bitterness. I talk to people. I say, are you bitter? They say, yes, I am. What are you bitter about? You got to give it to God. Amen. Give God your bitterness. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You said, that's just what you say. No, that's what the Bible says.
Amen.
You're supposed to forgive each other. You know how some people say, I'll hold a grudge till I die. Well, you might die sooner than you think. You hold a grudge. That's why I've always tried to have, I try to have mercy on people, have compassion on people. Maybe to my, nobody hurts me. It don't hurt me. It's just, I care about people. Because I know God is the justifier. God sees that. And he sees the way people are and what they're doing. And I have no doubt. See, I have no doubt that God's watching everything that I say, do. I have no doubt. And you. So David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Your Holy Spirit. And now the Bible tells us that we grieve him. We can grieve him. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So on a daily basis, why don't you try not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Now, take your Bible, look in Romans. Look at Romans chapter 8. Real simple stuff, man. It's so simple that you need to go over it and remind yourself about these scriptures. And when I read them, it's like taking a good cold drink of cold milk. And I love milk. Or eating a good meal. And it's just good. It's just good. This is good stuff. And I never forget when I first started reading, learning how to read and all that stuff, I read these stuff and I go, wow, this is good stuff. I need this. Look at verse 5. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So you're either, any day and any minute of the day, you're either walking after the flesh or walking after the Spirit. Now, you say, I'm in the flesh. Yeah, but you can be in the flesh and walking after the flesh, or you can be in the flesh walking after the Spirit, trying to, you know. Do you ever have dream? You ever dream about trying to lead somebody to Christ? You ever dream about that? I dream about it. I dream about seeing people get saved. And I want to see it. Now, I'm not trying to make you think I'm so spiritual that I walk on cloud. No, I don't. I don't. I'm carnal, too. I'm just like you, carnal. We're all carnal. To be carnally minded, though, the carnal mind, is all you think about is yourself. And all you think about what I'm going to get and what I can have and who I can get over on. If that's all you think, that's a carnal mind. That's a carnal mind always thinking about me, 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 only me, me. They teach in elementary school, little kids, it's not all about you. Share. It's not about you, 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 me, 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 me. That's a baby. An adult Christian has got other people in their mind, trying to help other people, praying for other people hurting, other people. I think about what our church people going through. I think about, you know, April, Joe. I think about what Brother Ken is going through. I'm praying for people. I'm just praying for Stacy's back, my wife's back, her hip, Brother Jack's eyes, and Nona's eyes, and their health, and all the men, the guys needing jobs, and you just pray for people. You say, man, that's just sometimes overburdened. People calling you up on the phone, You'll get over it. No, man. You got the Holy Spirit of God. That's our job.
Amen.
Is to help people. That's why the seven pillars is about. It's trying to help people. That's why the buses are running. Trying to help people. Trying to see kids have a chance that we never had. Kids getting saved. This fellow Will got saved Sunday. We want to see more people get saved. But if we all, if think about this, if we was all on the same page praying for people to get saved on Sunday and going after people, man, we'd see a harvest, man.
Amen.
We'd see, we're above average church of seeing people saved. We're unusual church. We're very unusual. But we're above average because you don't hear about people getting saved a lot of times at churches. We're above average. But man, what if we all got doing the same thing? Man, how many people we'd see saved? We got bus workers and people, they know they can come and get help. I was on the phone. A guy come to church here and said, told somebody they were at court this week. And I happened to call them while they were at court. I just call people. Lord lays on my heart, I call them. They were mad at me. I said, what are you mad at me about? They said, well, they said you took the other person's side. I said, I didn't take nobody's side. People accused me of taking somebody else's side. They said that you wrote a letter. I said, I didn't write no letter. I said, look, I want to see both of you do right. They're in court against each other. My thing is I want to see people do right. Live right. For to be carnally minded is death. That's why. Because all you think about is yourself and about what you're going to get, how you're going to get it, and it's death. It's just, you're killing yourself. You know, remember the tree that Jesus walked by and cursed it because there wasn't no fruit on it. I believe the Lord's looking for fruit, especially in this day and time. And I pray he likes Faith Baptist Church. I pray he likes coming by here. To see some fruit.
Amen.
Not fruit cakes, but fruit. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind, if we all in here just carnal, we don't come here to worship God. We don't come to church to get anything from God. We don't sing praises to God. We have no heart for God. You don't carry your Bible. You don't read your Bible. You don't pray. You don't sincerely get a hold of God. That's carnal. And it says that's enmity against God. I want the Lord to feel at home here. I don't want the Lord to get grieved coming in here.
Amen.
I want him to be able to walk down the aisle in the pews and say, I like this place.
Yep.
I think I'll hang around here. Because the Bible says, call you upon the Lord while he is near. You want the Lord to come by. We want the Lord to be on them buses. We want the Lord to do all that. Because the carnal mind is empty against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It says, if ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwelleth in you, now if any man have not the spirit of God, the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. That means we owe people. We owe God. We owe the spirit of God. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. But if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the talk, not only physical death, you can die spiritually in the sense of wanting to serve God, wanting the things of God. Through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So it's a day by day mortifying yourself, saying, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. But here's where I wanted to get to. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you have not received the spirit of bondage, see, the flesh and sin will bring you back into bondage. There's so many people that get saved and God delivers them from drugs, from drinking, from all kinds of a mess. And what happens is they'll go right back and put the handcuffs back on themselves, go right back to the world, and God delivered them from it. He broke the chains asunder. They go right back over, even though they're God's child, they'll go back and chain themselves back up again. So I just can't get away. I love this. So they end up dead. They end up bringing sense of death upon themselves. So how do you know that? I've preached many of funerals. People that just went right back, chained themselves back up, and say, I can't live without it. I got to have it. And the Bible says in Philippians that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God can deliver me from anything. He can deliver me from any sin, any problem, anything. But what they do, they say, yo, that's well and good for you, but I don't think God can do it for me. So, and especially I love my friends, and I have to have my friends. And the devil destroys them. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. When you feel like you're tempted and you're getting ready to fall into sin, you go, Father, help me. Help! Just like Peter on the water. Jesus reached down and grabbed him. You know how many times I've had to do that? Father, help me. I need you. And guess what? I seen him grab me. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See that thing? Your spirit is inside here. My spirit's in here. But the Holy Spirit's in there too. And the Bible tells us that you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. So God went through all this for you. He didn't go through all that for you so you can go right back to the chains and hook them back up for yourself. And the Lord says, okay. You're going to do that. You're going to do that. After what I just did for you. I delivered you from that. Now, the Bible says God's long-suffering, slow to anger. Yeah. I talked to a mother last week. Her son was an evangelist. He's been here. I've never let him preach. I never had no liberty to let him preach. I just didn't know why. But he was conning. He was going around preaching and telling everybody he's an evangelist, but he was still smoking and doing a little drugs on the side. He's in prison right now in Lancaster. Been in and out of prison. Married a girl, had a child. She thought he was the greatest thing since, you know, bread and butter. Found out he's a con. I've talked to him on the phone many times, prayed with him. And he said, man, I just can't help it. I said, let me tell you something. God delivered me, man. I know he's greater than your any sin that you want to commit. It's just that you want to do it. So anyway, we got time. Sorry. Didn't even get started on it yet. Father, I pray, God, that you help us, Lord, to live for you. Help us to hate the deeds of the flesh, our own flesh. A lot of times we hate everybody else's flesh, and we judge everybody else, but God, help us to judge ourselves. We're always pointing the finger like Adam and Eve did. Adam pointed at his wife. His wife pointed at the devil. Help us, Lord God, like David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And help us get it right. Whatever it is in our lives, I pray, God, help us to stay clean. And, Lord, I wish everybody was here tonight just to get some help. And I pray, God, you'd help each and every one of my brothers and sisters. I might just be preaching this to the choir, but that's fine. We need to hear it again. And I pray, God, put the fear of God in us. Give us a tender heart towards you and to love you. And, Lord, I pray, God, for all the prayer requests that was mentioned tonight, all our missionaries around the world. I pray, God, for our president, for our country, keep our country free. Pray for our senators, congressmen, put the fear of God in them. And, Lord, I pray, God, save them, our local governments. And I pray for our church, God, that we would see a touch of revival, always be in a touch of revival. That, God, that we keep the devil out of here. Help us to sing him out, pray him out. Help us to, God, live for you, God. and honor you for your glory and honor. Save that one. Help our brothers and sisters now. In Jesus' name, amen.